All right, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. All righty. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hallelujah. We're still happy. Especially if you do this. This is the kind of preaching where if you're hearing it, maybe don't make you shout, but you practice it. Woo! So we're in Hebrews chapter number 12. Remember Brother Copeland was here. He was talking about correction. And he made a statement. I don't know if I can quote it exactly. Something to the effect, the purpose of correction is to keep us in the blessing of God. Oh, man. That's the flow of this that we've been talking about, correcting ourselves. That's the flow of this. Not, you know, God's just not trying to spoil our fun. He's trying to keep us where we're protected and kept. This passage has always blessed me here in Hebrews 12. We find, let's start reading in chapter 12, verse number 1, but then we're going to skip down to something else here. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. The part that stands out to me, and I'm sure it does to you, is let us lay aside every weight. He mentions and sins, meaning there's difference between weights and sins. Some things that I shared things in the last session, they were sins. These are the things that he mentions here when he says weights might not be a sin, they just might slow you down. They might just keep your pace from being what it should be. Amen. Your response is slow because of it, you know, response to the Spirit. And so it's important that we recognize that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in us to constantly deal with us. It's His ministry, actually, to continually deal with us concerning this sins and weights. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll recognize that He does not shy away from dealing with us. He is ever willing. And boy, is He patient. And He's willing to continually work with us and bring us into the place where we're experiencing the best God has for us. Brother Copeland made this statement whenever he was preaching. He said, the Bible is a book of blunt correction. I don't know if you remember him saying that. It's a book of blunt correction. And you see that. You see it in Jonah. You see it in Saul, when Saul of Tarsus was going down to kill Christians. God knows how to get it done. But the thing that we need to learn is we can do this the hard way or the easy way. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Anybody in here have more than one child? And notice that different ones of them respond quicker than others. You know, some of them are more proud and hard-headed or whatever. I'm not talking about your children. I don't even know your children. But just generally speaking, there's sometimes difference in them. And some of them, you just say, honey, don't do that. And they almost burst into tears. But other ones, I mean, you can beat them to smithereens and they're just, they're still going, Christians are that way. They don't have to be, but they are. Sometimes, not everybody. But so, I mean, the Spirit will deal with us. And we see this down here. And let's go down to the same chapter here. Verse number 5. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. Say, I'm one of His children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Despise not thou the what? chastening. Most newer translations say correction. You might have a newer translation. But he says, despise not thou. Circle that word, despise. The chastening of the Lord, the correction of the Lord, nor faint. Circle the word faint. When thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth or corrects and scourgeth every son whom he receives. So this is a flow of his love. Correction is a flow of his love. What's he doing? He's trying to keep us in the place where our authority works. He's trying to keep us in the place where we're kept by the power of God, where Satan has no right to access us. Now, legally, because of redemption, he has no right. But when we step off of the territory of obedience into the territory of disobedience, he now has a right again. Because that's his realm. Disobedience is his realm. Rebellion and disobedience. Now, you know, in a setting like this, we're here at a Bible school. You've chosen to come here. Nobody forced you to come here, I don't think. Maybe your mom held a whip over you. I don't know. But in a setting like this, rebellion sometimes might not be as common. Disobedience might come from other things, like just, I can't, I don't have the money, or, you know, just different things, fear or intimidation, just a lot of different things. But yet, that doesn't mean that this kind of thing can't be disguised in other ways sometimes. Yeah. Disobedience, I mean, or rebellion. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, I'll just keep on preaching the word, and we'll just all be glad together, right? Yeah. So, my son, despise not thou the chastening. You circle the word despise, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So notice how much this passage is dealing with our response to correction. Amen. When he says despise not, he's saying don't respond wrong.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
To correction. All right. When he says faint not, he's saying don't give up when you're corrected.
Amen.
Don't give up and quit.
Amen.
Good. Amen. I've had to do this. I've had the Lord do it to me. I told you stories in the last hour. But I've had to do this as a pastor with staff and helps ministry and people at times. I'm not a mean guy. In fact, sometimes the Lord has to prod me along to really do what I've got to do. If I'm going to err, I want to err on the side of mercy. But that doesn't mean you just let things happen when you're in charge of something.
Amen.
When you're responsible. When you're the one that's going to stand before God and give an account.
Amen.
You know, you got to step up to the plate sometimes.
Amen.
I distinctly remember within a year, it was less than a year, of going there to pastor, I told my wife, I said, it's already clear who the people are in the congregation, that if I don't deal with certain ones with a pretty strong hand, they're going to run right over us. And they're going to try to take places of authority God's not given them. But it doesn't mean we're mean. You understand, there's people that do that because they just love being mean. I mean, that's not us. You can ask people that know us.
Yeah.
But yeah, right, on the other hand, the response, sometimes, like I said, I had to deal with certain individuals, certain situations. I mean, you know, somebody's bringing strife into the church or something, whatever, different situations. But the response determines what happens afterwards.
Absolutely. Amen.
They can respond rebellious. They can respond, you know, whatever way they want, all bowed up and hard and proud and...
Yeah.
You know, saying we're mean or whatever.
Yeah.
Or they can just say, thank you, like Pastor Nancy said, Grant said to her one time, thank you, Pastor, for keeping me straight.
Yeah.
Isn't that right,
yeah.
Brother Grant?
Yeah.
Some of you must not have heard that story. She spanked him one time and he cried, and then he said, thank you, Mama, for keeping me straight.
Yeah.
That's a good response right there. Yes, you can go with your friends now. I like that. Your curfew has just been shortened, you know. But anyway, so it's important. The response, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about response. But the thing I've learned about the Lord is he won't shy away from dealing with us about things. You might say, I've had people say, well, the Lord's not dealing with me about this or that. And I said, let me correct you. This is the better way to say that. You're not listening. You're not listening. There's seldom been a season of my life or a time of my life where God's not dealing with me about something.
Amen.
In fact, I get a little, what's the word, antsy if he's not. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not living in condemnation. I'm not living, you know, I don't believe that I'm just a terrible, you know, example of a Christian or anything like that. I'm just sober. I'm not ignorant about the fact that I got to grow in some areas. And I keep myself real, I endeavor to keep myself real tender in heart and not override the conviction of the Spirit, the leadings of the Spirit. Not every leading of the Spirit is how to get a brand new car. Some leadings of the Spirit are ouch. I told you about a couple of mine. Aren't you glad we're not having you up here telling about yours? Now, I want you to keep on reading here. So the response is very, very important. In fact, before we, let's go ahead and talk about that. The response, well, let's read the whole thing, and then so much more will come out if we read this rest of these verses. Let's look at verse 6 again. Whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, or corrects, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, now circle the word endure. This is another proper response. Yes, sir. If you endure correcting or chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Brother Copeland said, whenever he was here talking about correction, you remember that? Uncorrectable people become orphans.
Yep. That's it.
I didn't hear him say that, Pastor. I did. I wrote that down.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
Uncorrectable people become orphans. Remember, Jesus said, I've not left you helpless. King James says helpless. The Greek says orphans. I've not left you orphans. I've sent the Comforter, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth. You remember that?
Amen.
So when he says, when Brother Copeland said, uncorrectable people become orphans, he's not saying that the Holy Ghost leaves them.
Right.
He's just simply saying they're going to live as if there's no one there to help them because they have rejected the one who was trying to help them.
Amen.
They had rejected his dealings.
Yes, sir.
Eesh.
Amen.
And our lives are going to look like there's nobody taking care of us.
That's right.
Our lives are going to look like we don't have a father.
Right.
A good heavenly father.
Good.
Our lives are not going to look like it should look.
Right.
It's going to look more like what the devil meant for it to look like than what God intended it look like.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because we're on the devil's territory.
Yes, sir.
And on the devil's territory, he has the right to attack us.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I told you, if you shout today, you're the real deal.
Yeah.
So, and I know you are, I'm not trying to say if, meaning I doubt it, but if you're the real deal, you would prefer be corrected by God than the enemy.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why.
Yep.
Because he's really for you.
Yes.
He's really merciful. He is good. He has your best interest at heart.
Right.
He's endeavoring to protect you.
Yes.
He's endeavoring to keep you on the territory where Satan can't touch you.
Amen.
By resisting that and getting on the enemy's territory, then you will be dealt with by the enemy.
That's right.
Not because God willed it.
Right.
It's just because we put ourselves there.
Right.
And gave the enemy that right.
That's
see,
right.
Whatever we allow, God will allow.
Yeah.
And so in that situation, the devil will handle things, but he will do it without mercy. He won't be good to you. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, is good to you.
Yes.
He wants the best for you.
Amen.
So wise people recognize that and respond to God's correction so they don't ever get on the territory where Satan has access to them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They want to stay in the keeping of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
There's a king in the Old Testament one time. I think it was David. I'd have to look it up again. It's been so long since I read it. Because of some disobedience, God said, okay, a prophet came and said through the Spirit, through the king, okay, there's two different choices here. Which one do you want? You remember that story? I'm not even remembering if it was David or... David with Bathsheba. Which one do you want? And he said, well, let me choose this one because this will keep us in the hands of the mercy of God, not turn ourselves over to the enemy, you know. Well, that's wise.
Amen.
Amen. That you should have said, that's right, I'm wise.
Amen.
Amen. So let's keep on reading here. Where did we stop here? Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. In other words, we stay in that place where this relationship is the way it was. But if what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if without chastisement, now that doesn't mean that God doesn't correct this person in verse number 8. He's talking about somebody that doesn't receive it. You understand the difference there. If we be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now that's an old King James word that today is a very crude word. It's used in very crude ways today. If you look it up, it just means illegitimate son. You're not for real.
Yeah.
Amen? We want to be the real deal, right? Amen. Well, that means all of us get corrected.
Amen.
That means we all receive correction.
Yes, sir.
And we say like Pastor Grant, thank you, Daddy, for keeping me straight.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I respond to that. I don't resist that.
Praise
the Lord. All right, read verse number 9. Therefore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, that means honored, what they spoke into our lives. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You should underline that Father of spirits, because that's real key right there. The fathers of our flesh, our natural human fathers, corrected us in the flesh.
Yes,
might have spanked us, whatever they did.
Right.
The Bible preaches that, by the way.
Amen.
Not in abusive ways, but we've had fathers of our flesh who dealt with us that way. Then he said, likening that to our Heavenly Father, he said, the Father of spirits is who our Father is.
Amen.
He used that term, Father of spirits. So shall we not much rather be in subjection, that means we submit ourselves to the Father of spirits and live. So what does that say? He won't correct us in the flesh. He'll correct us by dealing with us in our spirits.
Yes.
I told you about how the situations in the last hour where the Lord was dealing with me. That was all God talking to my heart.
Yeah. Amen.
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 He was talking to my heart.
Yes, sir.
And whenever it opened the door to the enemy to attack me with sickness, is because I wasn't listening to my heart.
Right.
Remember what he said? How many times have I dealt with you about this? Oh, over and over again.
Yeah. Good word, sir.
Amen. So that's where these dealings happen. They happen in the conviction of your own spirit. He'll deal with you. We know that the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us, but He will convict. He'll bring it home to you that He didn't like that. Amen. That's the truth. Some of you looked at me like, I don't know. Yeah, He'll bring it real home. He'll bring the reality of it home real clear. He didn't like that. And He wants us to make that adjustment. So let's look at verse number 10. We're going to come back and look at some things here. But verse number 10, they verily, for a few days, talking about the fathers of our flesh, chastened or corrected us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit. In other words, He's got our best interest at heart. That we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, verse 11. We all understand this part. Now, no chastening or correction for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, circle that word afterward.
Afterward.
Woo! Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, those who respond to it and correct themselves. Woo! My goodness, there's fruit that comes out of that.
Amen.
There's fruit of right living.
Amen.
What is it? The door is closed to the devil again.
That's right.
And we're in line for God's best again.
That's awesome.
Now let's look at some of these things that we went past a couple of things here. These things, like he said here, they're for our profit. They're for our protection. So he tells us to learn how to respond to correction. When he says here, don't despise it, don't faint, endure it. Verse number 7, if you endure chastening or correction. So he says, learn to endure it. Learn to not faint. What does faint mean? Give up and quit. When we respond emotionally with a pout,
oh, come on,
and with a cry,
wow,
and with a, you know, this is so hard serving God, and you know, all those kind of emotional responses,
yeah, yeah,
That's not called doing it without fainting.
All right.
That's called fainting.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say somebody needs to hear this around me today. So he's telling us that doing it right, receiving correction right, is a learned thing.
Yes.
It's not something you or I know because, hey, we got saved yesterday. Hey, be bopping along. Yay. Hey. And God starts dealing with us about something. And we're like, I don't have to take that. Nobody's ever told me what to do in my life. I'm not going to start now.
Right.
You know? Except, you know, we are now His and we're not our own and we've been bought with a price and He's Lord and, oh yeah, He does own us. It dawns on Christians eventually, somewhere along the line, I belong to somebody else. And those that it never dawns on, it's because they're not listening. And that's why they're living the way they're living. So it's a learned thing. The proper response to correction is learned. So learn not to get emotional.
Amen.
And here's the highest flow. Learn to love it.
Amen.
What do I mean, love it? Well, just with a renewed mind, approach it with, this is going, of course, according to this passage here, there's a payoff after this.
Amen.
There is better things are ahead if I'll receive this.
Amen.
According to verse number 11. Afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
That's right.
So learn to love it because it is a flow of His love to care for you.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll
take crucifying the flesh because your flesh doesn't love it.
Right. Amen. Amen.
The response of the flesh is to bow up.
Yeah.
God talks to me and I'm not necessarily looking to anybody else to speak into my life except my pastor. I'm not talking about that. But every now and then when God talks to me, it sounds a whole lot like my wife's voice. Well, all the wives should have said amen right there. It's happened the other way around too, wives, hasn't it? If you got a godly man. So there are tendencies at certain times to when God uses other people, especially a pastor or somebody that has that kind of place in your life, when God tends to use other people, if you're not careful, you'll kind of take it as if it's just them, just the person.
Come on now.
You know, just kind of bow up against it. It's like, well, I don't have to take that from you.
Come on.
You know, I'm an American.
Come on.
You know, we're free. Land of the free, home of the brave. I'm telling you what. Amen. But, you know, there's times, though, that you know in your heart is God talking to you. Man, Lord, why'd you have to use her? I mean, my wife didn't have to be the one to talk to me like that. Not that she talks abusive. I don't mean that. But there's been times she said some things, and she wasn't trying to really be corrective. She just said some things about the word or something, and I'm like, ouch, that just nailed me. You know what pride does? Blah, 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 blah. And then later it'll say, you know what the Lord told me.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to acknowledge that He used anybody else, you know. Everybody's kind of watching their watches, Pastor Reich. They're like, how much longer is he going to go? Praise the Lord. It's a flow of God's love for us.
Amen.
Praise God. So learn that flow and with the renewed mind, always look at it as my help. Now, I don't mean that you and I should be walking around as other people's Holy Ghost policemen. You know what I mean by that term? Just sort of looking for the mistakes in others. I see this in you. I see this in you. That's my gift. I have discerning of spirits or whatever. I notice sinners have that gift. It's called criticism and judging. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about when you know the Lord spoke.
Yeah.
And sometimes your flesh doesn't like it.
Right.
And so learn to crucify your flesh. The devil and the flesh will gang up on you. Just like he did, remember Jonah, he ganged up on Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh, and he went the other direction.
Right.
Because how many of you know the willing and obedient eat to go to the land?
That's right.
But those that next part of that verse says, those that rebel.
Those that rebel.
Well.
Yeah.
In other words, they don't say, yes, Lord. They don't agree with what he's saying to them.
Right.
They don't acknowledge, or sometimes they don't even acknowledge it, or if they do acknowledge it, they don't agree with it. No, that's not my plans. That's, you know, and the flesh, the basic nature of the flesh, yours, by the way, and mine, I got flesh too. The basic nature of the flesh is selfishness and pride.
Yes.
Boil it down, that's basically
that's
it.
That's it.
Selfishness and pride.
Yeah.
And correction addresses both of them, but it addresses pride real hard. And what we do in correction reveals the level of our pride.
Amen.
Or the level of our humility. Or our teachableness.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. There are people that, because they can't receive correction, they turn from the plan of God. And think they're going to hurt whoever they left or whatever church they left or whatever. But they don't know they're hurting themselves more than they're hurting the church. Not that the church didn't need their supply, but the church is, the Bible calls the whole body of Christ, just that, the body of Christ. It illustrates it with the human body. And a local church is a part of that body, the body of Christ at large. And the body, the physical body, if it has, you know, like if maybe an accident happens at a place of work or something and a man's hand is severed off of his body, maybe for some reason they can't get it back on or whatever, it's damaged too much or whatever, and they have to, you know, fix that, you know, so he doesn't have a hand, amputates the word, thank you. So they have to, he has an arm without a hand. Yes, it affects that the rest of the body, but the rest of the body can live, right? But that hand, it can't keep living. Amen. So people think, well, I'm just going to leave. You know, I can't receive that. That's, you know, I'm going to leave. That's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt that body.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We got to learn to respond to correction correctly.
Amen.
And the wrong response is separating from divine connections.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's all good, Pastor. Woo, get your hanky out. Shout hallelujah. Now go to Jude 1, 21. This verse we're familiar with, ye beloved. Well, verse number 20, I should say. I'm really starting at verse number 20, and then we're going to get down to 21. Let me turn to it here. I'm going to quote it correctly. Verse 20, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then the next verse is connected to that. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, beloved, building up yourselves, keep yourself in the love of God. Listen to the Living Bible. This is a verse number 21. Stay always within the boundaries where Christ or God's love can reach and bless you. Woo-wee. Does that sound like this territory where we're kept?
Yes, sir.
We've been talking about the territory, this place where we're kept. There's a place of keeping. There's a place of protection.
Yeah.
He said, stay always in the, let me read it again, within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. The love of God is unconditional, but people can take themselves out of position where it can't reach them. That's talking about in manifestation.
Yeah.
It's directed toward them, but the manifestation was cut off by they got out of the place where it's sent.
Yes. Amen.
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 Notice that it's stated in this passage in such a way that God doesn't bear the responsibility for keeping us in that place. He said, we keep ourselves. We're responsible for that keeping ourselves. Another verse that states it that way. So really, man's watchfulness over his own obedience is implied. And thank God the Holy Ghost will help us on that. We've got to watch over ourselves in the area of obedience. Hallelujah. Keep the doors closed to the devil. Hallelujah. The dealings of the Spirit within your own spirit is how the Spirit helps you do that. He won't go beyond the dealings. In other words, he won't make us do anything. We're free moral agents. But he will deal, and he'll deal real strong. How we keep ourselves is responding to those dealings with agreement. You know what I mean by responding? I mean in the agreement side of responding, not in the rebellious side. Hallelujah. And so those dealings are for the purpose of drawing us back from getting on the enemy's territory, where Satan would be able to whack us. You know, he's not nice. I've noticed that about him. He's a cruel being. He's not playing games. So we want to do that. Now, look over here in... are you ready for this? Go over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. It tells us here in verse number 6. We're familiar with this passage. It's one of our... We like this passage. I like this passage, especially where it starts here in verse number 4. The weapons of our warfare, you know, are not carnal, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Aren't you appreciative of Pastor Nancy's teaching on the mind? Woo! Woo! Cherry on top, cherry on top. The word is all good, but that's the cherry on the top. casting down, verse number 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. How many of you know when we're corrected, we got to guard our thoughts?
Amen.
Don't let your mind go there.
Yep.
But verse number 6. And, so he's connecting what he just said to this. And having in a readiness, we don't talk that way, we'll see some other translations. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Ooh, my goodness, what does that mean? Listen to the Woosh translation. It says, and being in readiness to discipline every careless, apathetic hearing of and disobedience to the word. Ooh. You don't see that one on anybody's bumper sticker. you want to read that again?
Yes.
This is the Woost translation, W-U-E-S-T. Being in readiness, in other words, you're standing on ready. To discipline every careless, apathetic hearing of and disobedience to the word. So we could say every careless hearing of the word.
Uh-huh.
In other words, what would careless be? We heard it, but we didn't do anything with it.
Right.
Careless and apathetic hearing of and disobedience to the word. You know, hearing and not doing anything with it is
right.
Disobedience.
Yes,
so that's saying we can be careless with the word. Or how many of you know we can be careless with the dealings of the Spirit? And, you know, carelessness with the Word and carelessness with the dealings of the Spirit have no power to keep the devil out of your life.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I want him out.
Yes. Amen.
I served him for a while, and he's a cruel being. I don't want nothing to do with him.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want him in anything in my life.
That's right.
So I want him out. That means I zip my lip. That means I walk in the light. Everything that God deals with me, I respond to it.
Yeah.
And notice having in a readiness.
Yes.
King James says having in a readiness. Being in readiness, the Woos says.
Amen.
So it's not just, okay, I'll obey that. I'll get around to that. No, it's right now.
Right now.
Right, right now.
Amen.
That's
right now.
That's instant response.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo! It's tight, but it's right today. Aren't you glad the Lord dealt with me about this? That was a good opportunity to confess your faith. Glory to God. Your flesh might be squirming, but your spirit's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, so he's talking about, when he says readiness here, he's talking about all of us learning to be instant in correcting ourselves, instant in judging ourselves when we do wrong. And we deal with our flesh. We deal with our attitudes. We look ourselves in the mirror and point at ourselves and say, you know, you get it together right now. And I don't mean later, right now. We're happy right now. You just tell your flesh you're happy. Your flesh is pouting because you got corrected, and you just go, ha, 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 you're going to come along for the ride because we're going into the plan of God, whether you like it or not. And we're not waiting until this pout is over. We just finished your pout right now, all right? That's faith. Hallelujah. So really, spiritual people are quick to repent and quick to forgive.
Amen. That's right.
When it takes people a long time to get over it, a long time to repent, that means they're very weak spiritually. That means they're not very strong. Their flesh is dominating more than they maybe realized. I got one looking at me right now. I can tell they don't like it, but that's all right. I'm for you. I'm on your side. Well, so don't let those wrong attitudes linger, or wrongdoing linger, or pouts linger. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a verse in Philippians that said, don't for a moment be afraid. Pastor Ike was at our church preaching one time, and he said, stop having moments. People say, just give me a moment, just give me a moment. Stop having moments. Right now is a good time to get over your moment.
That's right.
Well, that's too high of a standard. I didn't write this. I'm ready to do this. Now, you'll find out, like I said, sooner or later, the further you go spiritually, the quicker things go bad on the devil's territory. That's why you deal with yourself like this so quickly. Because you don't want to give the devil any chance.
That's right.
You don't want to give him half a minute.
That's right.
You're just like, no, I'm not going there anymore. I've done that and got the T-shirt, burnt the T-shirt, turned it into a grease rag. It's just there's nothing there for me anymore. I know where the blessings of God are. I know where the best God has for me, and that's where I'm going to go.
Amen.
And that's why it says in Ephesians 4:27, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The more we go spiritually, the quicker we got to just say, I'm done with that.
Yeah, amen.
Done with that.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You won't have near as much room for error as you grow spiritually. So don't let things linger. Don't say, well, you know, I'm gonna get to that eventually. The quickest way into the best God has for you is to close these doors quickly. Now go over to James 3:17. Tell everybody, tell your neighbor, I'm coming back to Bible school tomorrow. I'm coming back to Bible school tomorrow. I'm coming back to Bible school. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Ha ha, I'm coming back happy. The people who love you the most are the ones that are willing to risk a good relationship with you in order to help you. So when Pastor gets up, Pastor Morgan gets up, or Pastor Nancy gets up and says some things real straight, walks away with a smile, just know she loves you more than others. Amen. James 3:17 is an interesting verse. I read this verse for a long time and never, I didn't quite get what it said. Well, I had some revelation, but not really what this one part says. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The part that I, you know, a lot of that I could understand, but the part that I never really looked up, easy to be entreated. I didn't know what that meant, but I never took time to look it up either. So I didn't know. But easy to be entreated. Notice the wisdom that is from above is easy to be entreated.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That phrase in the Greek means to obey easily without resistance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
In other words, the wisdom from above means we respond in obedience easily and without resistance. In other words, we get right with it. We don't put up a fuss about it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We were all raised in homes that had different atmospheres or different ways parents brought us up or whatever. Maybe some good, some not maybe so good. Maybe there were things that we were allowed to do in our homes and as children coming up in our parents' homes that set patterns in our lives.
Yeah.
That when we look in the Word, we see, because we thought that was great until we look in the Word, and we can no longer say, well, that was just the Irish in me. That's not the Irish in me. That's the flesh in me. You know what I'm talking about? So this is one thing. Sometimes parents, I watch parents and almost cringe sometimes. I think, my goodness, you're raising a criminal here. You know? I'm not trying to speak doubt over people, but there's more to than just speaking faith. There's the way you do things.
Amen.
And parents just let children not obey.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to carry that over into the world, or their life, I mean, and they're going to carry it over into their relationship with God. And really, the Bible says that if you love a child, you'll correct him.
Yes.
And that's what this verse is saying. Well, Hebrews 12, I mean. God's love for us corrects us. I was one time, we had a young man come to our church. He came maybe a year. He came in very unknowledgeable of anything about God or the Word or anything. Very young, and we were very compassionate with him, and where at the place he came in, we wanted to help him, and the congregation was really good to him. It was really amazing, and just endeavoring to minister to him. He was one of those people that, I mean, didn't hardly know anything. And so we were schooling him and ministering to him and so forth. He was growing, got married and so forth. And he was doing well for a while. And then he sort of got a little cold and wasn't showing up as much. And we'd encourage him and so forth. And he just sort of got out of fellowship with the church and the people, God, really. And he went, he had come out of the world, strong drugs and a lot of stuff. And come into the things of God and was set free of a lot of things. But then when he got a little cold and wouldn't respond to us just loving on him and bringing him, trying to bring him back in, he was tempted again with the same things. You know, everybody can understand that. Things come back. And started falling into it. And we endeavored to help him and so forth. He just really didn't want anything to do with, you know, us or anything. And ended up overdosing. And dying at about 27 years old or something like that. We didn't have the funeral in our church. His parents had the funeral in the Catholic church they had raised him in. And so I went to the funeral and just being sweet and loving on people. But the mom just wept and wept. And you can understand. Listen, I'm not endeavoring to be hard on anybody. But it was 27-year-old son. Too young, you know, just life not even lived yet. And weeping, weeping, weeping. And for some reason, God, I saw her weeping. And listen, hugged her, loved on her. But God in me spoke to me and said, she's crying, but she's the reason. I'm like, what? What do you mean she's the reason? The Lord said to me, he said, the way she raised him, he could do no wrong. He never was corrected. He got anything he wanted. She was just his friend. She was never his parent. She never trained him. She never said no. He got anything he wanted, and that's the reason that he is in the grave at 27 years old. She probably thought she loved him too much to correct him, but that's a lie. Love would have saved him from premature death.
Amen.
By saying, no, you don't get everything your flesh wants. You want to go over there and smoke weed with your friends? No, you don't get to do that.
Amen.
I mean, you know, when they're still living in your house, when they're out of the house, 25 years old, you don't have authority to, I mean, you can if they listen to you, but but you can't start then whenever you didn't start at 3 years old, you know, or one and a half.
That's it. Amen.
Anybody still glad you came to Bible school this morning? That to me, you weep at, you hear things like that, and the Lord deals with you about somebody being the reason and that kind of thing, and you hear that, and it's just like, it just grabs you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because the Lord does not candy coat anything. He just tells the truth. In love, but he just tells the truth. And when he's correcting us individually, it's the truth.
Amen.
I've never had the Lord talk to me about my marriage and the way I walk in love with my wife and responded to him and said, Lord, the way she's dealing, handling it and so forth and so on. And the Lord said, oh, that's right. I meant to talk to her. Forgive me. I forgot.
He never does that.
He must be married. Listen to him laughing. Come on now. He knows who he's talking to and what he's saying is the truth. He's not asking me how my wife treats me. He's asking me how I treat her. By the way, while we're on that, let's just meddle a little bit. People go to Ephesians 5, husbands and wives. They go to Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your husbands and so forth and so on. Husbands, love your wives. And the husbands are like, she's supposed to submit to me. And she's like, he's supposed to love me. And you know where the problem is? They're both out of their verse.
Right.
They're both in their spouse's verse.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Oh, that's good.
Notice how that verse starts out. Husbands.
Yeah.
In other words, wives, this isn't your verse. Stay out of this. Husbands.
Yeah. Come on.
Love your wives.
That's right.
Didn't say wives. Tell your husbands to love you.
No, didn't say that.
Ooh, man, that's getting tight in here now.
It's good preaching.
And then it says wives. In other words, husbands, stay out of that verse. That's not your verse.
Right. Amen. Right.
Submit yourselves. Doesn't mean make her. She does that voluntarily.
Right. Amen.
And if you love her right, she will, by the way.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen. Why am I preaching that this morning? I don't know. Just thought we'd preach a little. We'd just do a little pastoral work here while we're doing it. All right. James 3, did you see it? The wisdom of God responds easily.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, that's me. I obey easily. I do it without resistance. Praise God. So really he's telling us the wisdom of heaven is to obey God without kicking and screaming.
Amen.
Everybody knows, if you've had children, you know, some children obey more willingly than others. And this is saying wisdom, isn't that what he said? The wisdom that is from above just does it, responds to God easily.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Why is it wisdom? Because it speeds up the manifestation of the blessing.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
We can do this thing, we can do this the hard way, and we can take a long time, or we can just get it done. Let's get over on the territory where all these things work for us. Praise God. So slow labored obedience is us calling for a prolonging of our own struggle. And all the saints said,
amen.
I don't want to prolong. How many of you know a lot of things we think we're waiting on God and he's waiting on us? So this is all true. Just like natural children respond differently, the same is true concerning God's children. Wise men respond to just words. Hear this very carefully. Wise men respond to just words. What do I mean? In other words, foolish and proud men don't respond until the devil is beating them up.
That's good.
Amen. Woo.
That's good preaching.
God corrects with words spoken to our heart, dealings of the Spirit in our spirit. Amen. Wise men respond to that. Foolish men wait until the devil's beating them up before they say, okay, God, yeah. Of course, some people are so foolish they still don't respond to that. But there's an interesting verse. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. You remember the story of Jonah? I mentioned that a while ago. I know it's time for a break here. Let me just go just a little bit more here. Jonah and his flesh and the devil ganged up on him and said, we don't want to do that. And so That's what the flesh will always say to you.
Yeah.
That's right.
God's plan, your flesh usually never jumps up and down and says, yippee. Amen.
Yeah.
But how many of you know the Bible still said the willing and obedient need to go to the Lamb?
That's right.
So you can do that out of your spirit.
Yeah.
And get willing even when your flesh is saying, we don't want to. You say, shut up. We didn't ask you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I remember one time, when I started traveling in the ministry, for a whole year, I did it unwilling. Now, I wouldn't have told you that. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm a humdinger, you know. So I wouldn't have told you I was in disobedience. But after a year of traveling, and then we came home for Christmas break, and then we got back on the road at the beginning of January of the next year, I'm driving to the first meeting, and I'm grumpy. You've never been grumpy, but I was grumpy. And I'm driving, my wife's sleeping in the car, and I'm driving, and I'm just grumpy. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're angry at me. Before that, I wouldn't have told you that. I just said, no, me and God, man, we tight. And he said, you're angry at me. And I didn't say anything. But as soon as he said it, I knew he was right. He said, you think I knocked you down a notch, don't you? And I started weeping. I mean, he knows how to just...
Yep.
Like that. Right. The moment before that, you was awesome. You was the epitome of a church member, epitome of a Christian. And then he points something out to you, and you're like, oh.
Yes, sir.
And he said, you know, because he led us out of healing school, and there were so many blessings and good things happening there, but he led us out into traveling ministry, and I thought that was a knockdown. And there was just, and he's dealing with me. He said, you're not willing, and so that's why you struggled the first year of your ministry financially. I said, what do I do? He said, you hollered, and my wife's sleeping right here in the car. He said, you holler at the top of your voice right here in the car that you delight to do my will, and yea, my law is in your heart. That's a verse, you know. So I hollered it. I mean, I'm just obedient. I mean, at that point I was. I delight to do your will, O God. Yea, thy law is with thee. I said it three times. Woke my wife up. She's like, what is happening? And when I got to the third time, something in here just broke. And the joy of the Lord came up. I started laughing. I got the victory over that thing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why did I tell that story? I have no idea. But anyway, tell your neighbor. It was for somebody. It might have been for you. Praise be to God. So, let's do it. What do you say?
Amen.
Let's listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 10:6. We're still on that verse. This is the Passion Translation. Since we're armed with such dynamic weaponry, talking about the weapons of our warfare I just talked about, or such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion.
Yeah.
Look at that. I like that. We stand ready. In other words, we don't need a hurting to get our attention, to make us ready to deal with ourselves. We're ready to do it ourselves before the devil gets a chance to do it. Woo, glory be to God. Somebody's going to get happy yet. You never, the word will get you happy, won't it? Thank God. Now, go over to Psalm 32. After this, we'll give you a break again. Psalm 32. Look with me at verse number 8 and 9. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I'm going to eat the good of the land. How about you?
Yes.
It requires doing this, doesn't it?
Yes,
it's a joy to do it. It's all for our best. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So he's talking about instruction. You might want to circle the word instruction and guidance. So that's the context here. And then he said, I'll do it. I'll do it, you know, from other verses, how he does it. Does it by his spirit within our spirit. But look at verse number 9. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. I believe it's the NIV. It's been a long time since I looked it up. I think it's the NIV. It says, or they won't come near to you. The horse has a bit and bridle to guide them.
That's right.
Isn't that right? I mean, you might have ridden a horse, that bit goes in its mouth. Is that under the tongue maybe, or is it on, is it above the tongue? So it's, but really the reason that horse, when you put that bit in there, and then you, of course the reins are attached to it, and you pull that rein to go, if you pull the left rein to go left, right? Well, the reason that horse is trained to go left at that is because that bit starts hurting. So they just learn, okay, just go that way and the hurt will stop. So that makes sense now what he's saying? Don't be like the horse or the mule who won't go where you want them to go unless they hurt. Oh, so he's basically saying, respond to my dealings, respond to my words.
Amen.
Be wise.
Don't wait until you're hurting.
Woo! Hallelujah. Say, that's me. I am easily entreated. Amen. Let's take a break. We'll come back again in 10 minutes and finish up the day. We won't have much time after that, but...